we approach the most sacred part of this service of coronation, the anointing with holy oil, when the king is disrobed, robes of state taken away, and then he is shielded from public view, with the screens being brought to the theatre now. The Archbishop will anoint the king on his hands, breast and head, just as Solomon was anointed by Zadok the priest. The biblical text that was set to this triumphant music by Handel.
First time in 70 years yesterday, there was a coronation in the United Kingdom. Charles was anointed, and he was anointed not just as the king, but he was also anointed as the head of the Church of England. It's a big deal, but so is what we're doing here today. This is a really big deal, and the same anointing that comes from God. That was a worship service yesterday when Charles was anointed as king. Then there was this private part of the service where he goes and he kneels, and he is disrobed of all of the kind of royal garb, all the different kind of kingly robes that he wears. They're all taken off, and he's just wearing a humble white shirt and regular pants, and he kneels before God, because even though there are kings and there are queens in this world, we all bow down and we all take a knee before the King of all kings. That's the symbolism, that's what's going on, and it's a big deal. Zadok the priest, 1 Kings chapter 1 says, and if you've been reading through the whole Holy Bible together with us as a church family this year, you pick up these things and you start to connect dots. So instead of just watching a boring coronation service, you realize, oh, wait a minute, I read about that. I know what that is. And there's depth here and there's meaning and there's significance, just like there is on Confirmation Sunday. Just like there is whether you're an eighth grader confirming your faith in Jesus Christ, or you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor or one of our heroes, the confirmation mentors, the group leaders here in this church. Praise God for them one more time. By the way, that's amazing. Not to mention Justin Stofa and Daniel Rainbolt and our team of staff leaders, and Zoe, who is leading worship with a youth worship band today. Amazing dedication and commitment. Zadok the priest took the flask of olive oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon, the new king, David's son, the wisest king in the history of Israel, anointed Solomon with the oil, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon." That's what was happening yesterday. As Charles is anointed as king, it's in connection to this biblical text, in the same way that the prophet Samuel, the priest Samuel, chose and anointed, because God told Samuel through God's word, through the Holy Spirit, Samuel knew. It's none of David's brothers, even though they have a better resume, even though they have qualifications. It's Solomon's dad. It's David who's supposed to be the king. So there's always this connection between God and these kings who are chosen, these kings who are anointed. And so when Charles had the anointing oil put on his hands and on his heart and on his head yesterday, these words were spoken in the liturgy of the service. Be your hands anointed with holy oil. Be your breast, your heart, anointed with holy oil. Be your head anointed with holy oil. As kings, priests, and prophets were anointed, and as King Solomon was anointed by Zadok the priest, so may you be anointed. So may you be anointed today, eighth graders. So may you be anointed, all of you who are here. You say, well, I don't know, where's the oil? Where do I line up? I'm not called to be royalty. I'm not the king. I'm not the queen. Yeah, but after you were baptized with the water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the pastor, the priest, whoever it was, took the oil and put it on your forehead. The anointing oil, the same power of the Holy Spirit that's there when Charles is anointed as king, is there for us in the waters of baptism once upon a time, choosing us. Anointing means chosen. Isaiah 61 says, I have been anointed by God to bring this good news. And when Jesus was starting out his ministry in Luke chapter 4, he was the Bible reader for the day. He stood up in his local synagogue. He read that text from Isaiah 61. And he says, today in your presence, this prophecy has been fulfilled. I'm the one who's been anointed. I'm the one who's been chosen. So in the traditional liturgy of the confirmation service, I want to pronounce this blessing over every single one of you eighth graders. In addition to you already doing your statements of faith this week, in addition to you doing all the things you've done over the last 3 years in Power Life, which if you do the math, my wife mentioned this to me the other day. She says, that's like a fifth of your life you've spent in Power Life confirmation. 20% of your life you've been on this track. You've been moving toward this day. This is a big deal. This is significant. Not only that, more importantly, this is holy. God sets it apart. To be anointed means to be chosen. You are chosen by God, the same God who has the power to show up for people in all sorts of different ways. You don't have to be the king or queen of England in order to receive this anointing. You've got the same power. You've got the same power of God through his Holy Spirit. You have been chosen. You have been called. That's what you're confirming today. Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. He chooses you, so confirmation isn't you just saying, well, I choose to believe. Confirmation really at its deepest level is you saying, God chose me. He anointed me. The name Christ, Jesus Christ, means anointed, the chosen one of God. God chose you too. If you believe in him, which is what confirmation is, that's what you're saying. As God chooses me, as God chooses you, we say and respond with a yes, I believe it. And so I want everybody who's here, I don't want to just pick on the eighth graders, I want everybody here who believes it to say it out. God has chosen you. Say, yes, I believe it. God has chosen you. Yes, I believe it. It's done. And when you say that, it puts you on a different pathway. It isn't just about a philosophy. It isn't just about thinking, well, here's what I think, here's what I believe. It is a new trajectory. It is a new pathway for you to follow. It is the beginning. It is the start of a race. It isn't the finish line. Confirmation is not the finish line. It's the beginning. It's the start. You were made for this. You've been chosen. So in the traditional liturgy of the old green hymnal, I want to pronounce this blessing over you. I want to declare this to you. So eighth graders, if you would, please stand up one more time. And I want you to hear this from God. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up the gift of your Spirit, your Holy Spirit. Fill your children with grace and truth. Confirm their faith. Guide their lives. Empower them in serving. Give them patience in suffering. And bring each and every one of them to everlasting life. You have been chosen. You have been anointed. If you believe it, eighth graders, say, yes, I believe it. Amen, it's done. Please be seated. Here's what that does. Here's what that means. It means you have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. As we read through the whole Holy Bible this year together as a church, we turn the page now to the book of Acts. We read the Gospels. If you're new to Hope today, we have these handy-dandy little bookmarks. You have every week's Bible reading here. You'll hear a sermon on what you read during the week. You can come. You say, well, I missed it. No, you can start now. This would be a really good place to start, and you can catch up on the Gospels early in 2024. As we turn the page to Acts chapter 1, there's this key kind of topic sentence, the big verse. Let's read it together if you can see it on a screen. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Get a life!
Power life.
See, there it is. You will receive power. That's where we come up with the name for Power Life. It's the promise of Jesus. After he lives, dies, and rises from the dead, he gathers together with his disciples in the beginning of Acts, which is really Luke part 2. It's the sequel. Use the force, Luke. So you turn the page to Acts, and Jesus is there with his disciples, and he says, look, I told you it's to your advantage that I ascend to heaven, which I'm about to do, because when I ascend, the Holy Spirit's going to descend. And when I ascend, the Holy Spirit's going to descend upon you, the believers, and there's probably 120 of them total. There are more students getting confirmed at Lutheran Church of Hope today than there were entire numbers of Christians in the whole world when Jesus died and rose from the dead. 650 plus. Yeah, praise God for that. That's a good thing. If God can do what he did through the 120 disciples who were there, what can he do through you? It's possible that in this group that just got confirmed, the next Billy Graham was lined up there, the next Mother Teresa, the next person who does things behind the scenes that nobody ever hears about, never becomes famous, but lives out the anointing, lives out the calling, lives out an understanding of, I am created by a God who loves me. And doesn't just make me and love me, but he loves me, but he also calls me and sends me. This is the beginning. This is the start line, not the finish line. And when you confirm your faith, when you start walking down this pathway, when you begin this journey with God as a member of his church, the body of Christ, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We turn the page from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 2, and sure enough, the 120 Christians are there, and suddenly they're all in one room. There was a mighty windstorm. There are tongues of fire appearing. Wind and fire are the two symbols that are used over and over again for the power of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. I loved it when Ivan, one of the confirmation mentors up there, says, "My boys are fire." You're fire. This is what the Bible says. It's not just what I've said. It's actually, he was quoting scripture. There's a mighty windstorm. There's tongues of fire appearing. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Was filled with the Holy Spirit. Soren Kierkegaard, the great theologian, Lutheran theologian, wrote about this. He said, Spirit is fire. And Christianity is fire setting. Not in a way that destroys, but in a way that inspires. The world has nothing to fear with Christians who are really Christian. I mean, Christians who lose their bearings, who start following their own drumbeat, who don't want to submit to Jesus, who don't want to take a knee and bow down and humble themselves, who lose their love, and so they lose their prophetic voice and the whole purpose of what the church is. They misrepresent the body of Christ. They misrepresent Christianity. But when we get Christianity right, when we understand it's about humble service, when we understand it's about loving our neighbors, all of them, not just the ones we like, not just the ones who like us, when we understand we're on a mission from God, and if we don't do it, it isn't going to get done, and if the church doesn't awaken and rise up and come out of hibernation and be what God has called us to be, I don't have any hope for this world. None. The church has to be the church. We have to be what God has made us and anointed and called us to be. Can you imagine if Charles is anointed as king and then he just like has a press conference today and says, I'm going to pass. I mean, I think he had a grandpa or great-grandpa who basically did that a few months later, but that was scandalous. You've been anointed king to be the king. You've been anointed queen to be the queen. You've been anointed a child of God to be a child of God. Swim, fish. It's who you are. There's so much in this world where fish try to be birds, and birds try to be fish, and little chipmunks try to be bears, and bears try to be little chipmunks. And we say, well, I just get to be whoever I want to be. What if you discovered who God made you to be? That's when Christianity becomes fire. That's when it's fire setting. That's when love starts to abound. That's when the world starts to change. And the best part of it all is if you do that, you're going to hit your stride. You're going to find out who you really are. It isn't who you say you are or who people say you are. It's who your Creator created you to be. And if you aren't going to be that person, the world's at a loss. You're the only one of you that God ever made. The only one of you that God ever made. This world needs you to be you, who God made you to be, to let your light shine for the world around you, to let God's love fill you up, to say that to the God who chooses you, yes, I believe it, and to let that love fill you up and pour out of you. It's fire. And when we get that right, it changes the world, just like it did in the book of Acts. So throughout the rest of the book of Acts, from the topic sentence, you will receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In the first seven chapters, it goes on to say in verse 8, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the outline of the entire book of Acts as you're reading through it for the next couple of weeks or the rest of this month. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Here's a map of what was known as the whole world back in the time that the church was born on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended with power and with wind and with fire. And this map shows, you see the lines where Christianity spread over the next generation or two. As God's word went out, as God's love, as the light of his love started to go out, it started to change the whole world around us. You see, that's great for people like Peter and Paul and all the other apostles who were sent out. But, you know, I'm just an eighth grader. I'm just an eighth grader's parent or grandparent. I'm just ordinary. I mean, what could God do through somebody like me? You forgot about the power. You forgot about the fire. I will pour my spirit upon all people, Acts chapter 2 says. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The temptation is to think that students and kids and youth are the future of the church. You are, but you're also the present. You're a part of the church today, an essential part of the church. This is not preacher's opinion. I'm not trying to give you a pep talk here. I'm telling you what God's word says. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. The kids, the youth, your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. The book of Acts makes it very clear how inclusive God's fire is, how it comes to all people, men and women, old and young, all generations, people of every language and ethnicity and background. It's all there in Acts 2. It's fire. I'll pour that fire of my Holy Spirit upon all of you, upon you, as soon as you say and mean it and follow and believe it, it's done to you. You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, this power life that we've been pointing you to for 3 years and that you're confirming today. This is not a finish line. This is a starting point. This is where the journey really begins. Go. Swim, fish, fly, bird, run around on a tree, squirrel. Be who God has made you to be. Stop faking it. Stop pretending. The reality is most of you aren't as cool as you pretend to be, and it's okay. My confirmation pastor told me that. He looked at me and goes, Mike, you're not as cool as you pretend to be. And it was a gift. I was like, you know, I do try to pretend to be cooler than I really am, and it's not really getting me anywhere. It's kind of sad. So then I just decided to be who God made me to be. You were born for this. You were made to follow the God who made you, to put your faith in him, to trust him. So on the day of Pentecost, when the wind and the fire and the Holy Spirit and people speaking languages and discerning them and people of all nationalities, men and women, old and young, all generations, when all this holy revival stuff is happening, some of the people who were there and were looking came up to Peter after he proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, and they said, what should we do? We're cut to the heart. And Peter said, repent, turn to God and be baptized, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's that easy. Repent is a loaded word. It has a very simple application. It means change the way you think. Stop living for yourself. Stop living to please people who don't even really probably deep down like you a whole lot. Stop living for anything short of living from the God who made you and loves you. Stop living for the wrong things. Start living for the right things. Change the way you think. It'll change your pathway. Repent, that's what we should do. Turn to God and be baptized, which you have been. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was just 2 weeks and a few days ago that right over there at that baptismal font, which is symbolized with the living water and the limestone of the Holy Land where Jesus walked and talked, that's where we got the limestone or the marble in the middle breaks through the limestone from Iowa on the outside. And the water is living. The symbolism is rich. And printed in the original Greek of John 7 over there says, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. And I'll fill you up with my spirit. I'll remind you that you were born for this, that you are chosen by the God who made you and loves you. That's what you're confirming today. Yes, I was. Yes, I believe it. I believe God loves me so much that he sent his son into this world to live, die, and rise from the dead for me. Yes, I believe it. And if you believe it and receive it, John chapter 1 says, he gives you the power life to become his very own children. So it was 2 weeks and a few days ago that we have this thing called Power Life Baptism Night, because we're affirming baptisms, but not everybody who's confirming their faith has been baptized. So we don't want to put carts before horses and get it all backwards. So we say, okay, anybody who hasn't been baptized, if you believe, now's your chance to be baptized. There are 650-some kids, who eighth graders, who are confirming their faith at Hope locations, Hope-wide this morning. There are 250-plus here. There's a bunch here at this service. And by the way, just as a quick aside, almost all of them are coming at 11 o'clock of those 650. So turn to the person next to you, wherever you're sitting, and say, we have chosen wisely by getting up early and coming at 8 a.m. This was a real, I know it's early, I get it. I'm here every Sunday at this time, by the way. It's a great service. If you think Hope is too crowded, you should come at 8 every week. It's awesome. There's plenty of elbow room. And the Spirit is strong at this service. It's like the one I'd go to if I didn't have to be here all the time. I'm not going to say that at 9:30. That was just a word for you, just for this, Lord. If we could just keep it between us, I'd appreciate it. But there is a thing that happened a couple of weeks and a few days ago at that baptismal font that is worth noting. It's probably also worth noting that on that day, the presiding bishop of the whole Lutheran Church showed up at Hope. First time a presiding bishop has shown up here in about 20 years. And her name is Elizabeth Eaton, and she wanted to come here because the Lutheran Church that she leads, she's not a pope, that's not how we're set up, just so you know. Bishops don't have any authority. What they say doesn't have any bearing on us. It's the other way in the Lutheran Church. It's grassroots. It's not top down. It's flipped. And so bishops are here to serve congregations and try to help, and whatever they say is what they say. It doesn't have any bearing on what we teach or do. But she's a good person. We met for 8 hours on this Wednesday a couple of weeks ago. She brought her entourage from Chicago, and our synod bishop was there too. And we talked about how can the Lutheran Church bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to more people. And then after several hours of talking about it, she wanted to come here and see what God was doing here. After several hours of talking about it, I said, let me give you a tour. So we got one of our Hope buses, and we put the whole entourage in it. But we started in this room on that Wednesday night, and it just happened to be, we didn't plan it this way, as God would have it. It happened to be baptism night for Power Life. 70 eighth graders just here in West Des Moines signed up to be baptized. 70. There's a long line. A lot of you, it was you and your families, and it lined up all the way to the back over and over again. But it ended up being 127 showed up, lined up to get baptized that day. We had to call parents to get permission to make sure it was okay along the way. It was a glorious thing, and I was standing right back there with the leader of the whole Lutheran church, with the responsibility to lead a church of millions and millions of people. And she said to me as she watched this, my goodness, I can assure you that in all her years as the leader of the Lutheran church, she's never seen anything quite like this.
Nick, I'm going to have you plug your nose, hold your wrist. Nick, God loves you so much. So I baptize you now in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen! Praise God! Well, you hold on to that. And Nick, you are a child of God. Your name, it means victory. So you have the victory of God on you. The cross of Jesus Christ, you've been marked by that. The Holy Spirit of God, it's in you. So let your light shine, Nick. Let it shine before God and before people that will see your good works and praise your Father who's in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, praise God. What should we do? You have been anointed. You have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever in your baptism. And in your confirmation, you're confirming that. You're saying, the God who anointed me and chooses me, I say yes to. I believe. So now you have this power life we've been telling you about for 3 years. It's in you. You don't have to go find it. You've got it. God's given it to you. It'd be like having an engine in a car that's this like race car, this super powerful, mega horsepower engine. And you never let it ride if you don't activate your faith. If you see this as a finish line instead of a starting point, that's what we should do is we should go. We should act like the church, which is what we're calling this Book of Acts series for the month of May. Act like the church that's described in Acts chapter 2, where all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They read the Bible. They studied it. They were in community. That's what fellowship means. They were in groups. They connected to each other. They found their friends here. They invited their friends into church. Into the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then it goes on to say, and they were radically generous and they worshiped together in the temple all the time. And then they broke into small groups and they hung out together and they had that community and that study of God's word. And a deep sense of awe came over all of them, the next verses say. And God added to their number those who were being saved. And that's how the church gets the word of God and his love out there. That's fire. God's love is in you. So rumors of the demise of Christianity have been greatly exaggerated, especially when they focus on young people falling away and young generations falling away. That has not been our experience here. And it's not because we're special. It's not because of our programs. It's not because of our personalities or our charisma. It's because we get out of the way. And we point you to the power, and that power isn't me. And it isn't our bands, and it isn't our leaders. As good as they are, Justin and Daniel and Nick and the whole team. The power is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is in you. Ignite the flame. Your fire. Don't let it just be a little teeny tiny pilot light. Flip the switch. Swim fish. Fly bird. Run around on the tree, squirrel. Be who God has made you to be, not who you feel the pressure of the world to become. And you will find the power life. Can these dry bones become living people again? The prophet prophesies in Ezekiel 37. Yes, watch what I do. I'll pour my spirit out upon all people so that we can carry out our mission as a church and fulfill our vision, our goal, powered by the Spirit to bring Christ to all cultures, revive the world with God's love, and make heaven more crowded. You were born for this. This promise is to you and to your children and to those who are far away. So I stayed up late last night, and I'm sorry I didn't get it exactly perfect in order to do this. It's you. You're up there. This is just the 8 o'clock group right here. You have been chosen. You have been anointed. You have been called. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that's on full display for the whole world to watch yesterday as the guy gets coronated as a king. You are a child of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are chosen. God chooses you to fill you up with his eternal love. This is what I want to leave you with. This blessing as you confirm your faith today. There is a God and this God loves you. I want you, just for a moment, please, just stop everything else you're doing. Just stop and listen to me. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John come up to somebody who needs healing. And he wants money. He's begging for money. And Peter and John say, no, look at me. Look at me. Look at us. We don't have silver and gold for you here in this church, but what we have is far more valuable. A power life. We can't give it to you, but we can point you to the one who can. This God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is fire, who will blow you away your whole life if you let him. Make room for him. This God made you, and this God loves you. I want you to think about how much this God loves you. And not just the eighth graders, everybody who can hear my voice, wherever you are right now. Hello, Hope Waukee. Hello, everybody else who's tuning in. I want you to think about just how deep and how wide and how long and how high God's love is for you. That's what Ephesians says. That's what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Yes, it could be this massive kind of manifestation, this extraordinary, miraculous kind of stuff, wind and fire and all that. But sometimes it's just that gentle breeze that reminds you, you are loved. You're loved by the greatest force in the universe. The creator of all things looks at you and says, you're the only one of you I ever made, and I love you so much. I love you so much. Open your heart before you go home, before you go do the next thing, and just breathe that in. Everybody, listen to me. God loves you. God chooses you. God anoints you. God puts his Holy Spirit in you. If you believe it, say, yes, I believe. And now we get a mark and a sign of that love before we go home in the Lord's Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, gave it for all to eat, saying, take and eat, this is my body given for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this to remember me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this to remember me. So together, let us pray our table grace before the Lord's Supper. And as I do, I invite the communion service to come to their stations. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God loves you. His love is on full display in this meal. This is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, given and shed for you. Christ is present in this bread and wine. Everybody's welcome who desires to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who says, yes, I believe, regardless of your denominational background. If you believe Christ is in this, come and get it and receive it for the forgiveness of your sins. As the eighth graders are confirming their faith today, it wouldn't be a bad idea for the rest of us to do the same, right here and right now in this meal, to know that there is a God, this God who made you, loves you, anoints you, chooses you, fills you with his Holy Spirit so that you could have a powerful life. Get a life! And there it is. The kids lead us again.